This morning, Brian Scott made a career decision. He decided to be an astronaut. His first giant step, learning to use an Apple. There are more Apple IIs teaching more subjects in more schools than any other computer. So whatever Brian wants to be, an Apple personal computer can help him be it. As of this afternoon, that's a marine biologist. The Apple II. There's no telling how far it can take you.
Hello, and welcome to the Classy Best 30 Plus Minute Apple Conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your very hot host, literally, Erfan Elijah. Joining me today, someday he'll be buried in an all-white Johnny Ive designed custom casket with chamfered edges. The founder, ladies and gentlemen, the founder of Cult of Mac, Leander Caney.
Hello.
Also with us, he's Cult of Mac's managing editor, and he also manages to be a heck of a nice guy. Lewis Wallace is here.
Hey, thank you.
Buster was here moments ago, but we lost him because he is in 110 degree heat in Reno, Nevada, and he's in his van in a restaurant parking lot connected to their Wi-Fi, and I cheat you not, his MacBook Pro was having problems cooling itself off, so he couldn't do the show because he's in a 110 degree van in the parking lot of a restaurant. I don't think that's within the operation parameters of the MacBook Pro. And I'm quite literally hot as well. I mean, I'm very attractive. If you've ever seen my profile picture online, you know that. But it's, let's see, I'm looking at the thermostat. It's 86.5 degrees in the Cult Command studio here. I'm sweating up a storm. I've already gone through one shirt. And I've got like that V going on, you know, that sweat V going on, Lewis.
Yeah.
I don't know
why
you would know what that is, but you know when you work out and you get that V going?
Oh, yeah.
I've got that right now, and I'm not even moving. I'm just sitting in my chair.
That's really nice.
Does that paint a nice visual
in your
for
own
you?
Juices.
Yeah, I'm literally marinating in my own juices. It's been so gosh darn hot in Seattle. Unusually hot. I was talking to someone about this the other day, and I was saying how hot it is, and they were like, oh, it's always this hot in the summer. And I'm like, no, we get up to maybe 80. It's kind of like San Francisco probably is. Like, it gets warm. We might get 78, 80, maybe 85 on a real scorcher. But 90 degrees is unusual for this area, and we've been getting 90-degree days over and over and over again for like the last 3 weeks. I love it, but when you're sitting in a small studio with a bunch of equipment that's pumping out hot air, it gets hard to manage, you know? So if I just stop speaking, it's because I've passed out from heat stroke. You guys should probably call 911, give them my address, tell them to bring an IV, because I've been doing this all day. But the show must go on. And what a show we have for you all this week. So I just want to point out, this might get slightly political. We're really going to try to keep this show apolitical. We pride ourselves on not bringing politics into the show, and I think that we often succeed. But we are going to talk about a topic that could lead, you know, into the fringes of a political discussion, and we're really going to try not to do that. And this is, of course, the story having to do with Apple. However you want to describe it, censoring, pulling, removing the Alex Jones / InfoWars podcast. And I have a feeling it's going to be a lively discussion. So we are going to talk about that. And it's not from the point of, you know, do you like Alex Jones? Should they have kept Alex Jones? I think it's more, at least from my opinion, it's from the perspective of Apple is entering the realm of censorship. They are deciding to censor podcasts, which is not something I knew that they even did. And it's not something I have seen them do before. Now, maybe they've done it quietly before and it didn't make, you know, mainstream news. But of course, this week it did. So we'll be talking about that, and we'll also talk about the possibility of the iPhone having the Lightning port removed. If you live in Europe, this might be something that's happening, and we'll tell you why here in just a moment. It's kind of an odd story. We're also going to talk a little bit about the announcements made at Samsung's Unpacked event, because there are some interesting devices that were announced, and some of them were inspired by Apple, you might say. Heavily inspired by Apple, you might say. So we'll talk about those. We're going to wrap up with an all-new What We're Into. I also want to point out one other quick thing. I have cut back on coffee this week. Leander, I know you've done this in the past before. Yeah, I feel like I'm a member of The Walking Dead. Like I was telling you guys earlier, I feel like I'm high on acid without the high. I just feel like I'm hallucinating. I'm seeing things.
It's weird, isn't it?
It's totally bizarre. I feel like I can't string sentences together. I feel like I can't think clearly. It's very strange. I mean, I just went cold turkey. I was like, I need to cut back on caffeine. I'm just going to cut it out. How bad could it be? And the first day, small headache, thought I was doing pretty good. By day two, full-on hallucinations, unable to control my bowel or bladder. And by day three,
I thought I had flu. Like, I was literally in bed for a couple of days.
That's exactly how I felt. Like I feel like I'm in a sweat lodge, and there's drum beats happening around me. You know, there's spirits dancing, and there's none of that. It's like you see it out of the corner of your eye, and then you look, and it's like there's nothing there.
Yeah.
It's been totally bizarre and unable to sleep. So anyway, all that to say, if I say something that just doesn't make any sense at all, that's probably why. It's because my brain is just not working today. Before we jump into this first story here, let me go ahead and give a big hearty thanks to Casper for supporting this episode. Casper is a sleep brand that continues to revolutionize its line of products to create an exceptionally comfortable sleep experience one night at a time. Now with three mattress models, the original Casper, the Wave, and the Essential, Casper mattresses are perfectly designed to soothe and cradle your natural geometry. Not to mention, they have a breathable design, which is so important these days, especially in this weather, which will help you sleep cool and regulate your body temperature throughout the night. And it's delivered right to your door in a small, how did they do that, size box with free shipping and returns in the US and Canada. The best part is, I always say this, you get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free with their Sleep On It trial. Sleep on it, see how you like it. You can't tell what you think of a bed by laying on it in a mattress store. You really have to sleep on it for a few weeks, you know, even longer if you decide, in different temperature conditions to see how it's going to fit your body, how you're going to sleep in it. And plus, your body has to adjust. You spend 1/3 of your life sleeping, so Casper wants you to be comfortable. Here's what you can do. You can get $50 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/cultcast and using cultcast at checkout. That is casper.com/cultcast. The offer code is cultcast for $50 off your mattress purchase. Terms and conditions do apply. Okay, let's start with a lighthearted story before we all start arguing about the InfoWars story, which we're not going to do. We're not going to do. It's going to be a very polite and lighthearted conversation. So really strange story this week about how the EU may be forcing Apple to remove the Lightning port from their iPhones and I think other devices as well, in lieu of a more common input method, which would be USB. So the story goes like this. EU regulators are considering whether they need to force a common standard for iPhone chargers. The idea is to cut down on the 51,000 tons, I didn't see that part before, of old chargers and cables thrown away each year. Way back in 2009, the European Commission pressured Apple and 13 other companies to work towards a common charging standard by 2011. Like that was going to happen. Give me a break. All the other signatories gave up their proprietary plugs and switched to USB. Apple, well, they switched to Lightning, their own proprietary port.
Yeah.
According to Reuters, that didn't satisfy the EU Commissioner of Competition, and now the Commission is launching a quote-unquote impact assessment study to evaluate costs and benefits of other options, that likely meaning the other option being forcing Apple to adopt USB on their devices. I don't know. What do you think, Leander? I can't imagine Apple kowtowing to something like this because the whole reason they moved to Lightning, well, one of the big reasons, is because they wanted a smaller port. And now, I guess micro USB is pretty small, but Apple has built their whole device around having that miniature Lightning port. Do you see them, you know, genuflecting and moving on to USB? I don't.
No.
Hell no.
I'd like them to, though. I wish they would.
oh, you wouldn't mind if we moved to USB for all their devices?
Yeah, you know, because, I mean, you know, USB-C, it would be better, I think, if everything was you know, standardized.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot more convenient, and you wouldn't have to hunt for all these different, have all these different cables for these different devices. Like, if everything's standardized on USB-C, which a lot of things are doing now, it would be fantastic if Apple joined that. And I'm not really sure. Are there any, like, technical advantages to Lightning over USB-C?
I was just thinking that same thing. Now, we, of course, don't know the answer to that question. My guess would be there is. But it is interesting that Apple has standardized USB-C on their MacBook Pros, on their notebooks, but they're leaving Lightning in place for their iPhones, for their iPads.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the fact that they're using it on the MacBook, I mean, you'd think that they would, you know, why not use it on the phone too and the iPads? I think the reason they like Lightning is it gave them a lot more control, you know, over the different peripherals and mm-hmm. accessories,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and of course they do the MiFi, the made for iPhone program. But is there any reason they couldn't do a MiFi program with USB-C? I mean, you know, they could still certify devices and say this is Apple approved.
They could. I wonder if it would be a real true certification, though, and not just a rubber stamp and saying Apple likes this cable best or these headphones best. Because with the Lightning program, I think that is a technical certification they get, and it allows the device to work in certain ways with the iOS devices, is my understanding. And maybe with USB-C, they couldn't prevent certain devices from working with the iPhone because it's just a, you know, it's a universal port. And maybe manufacturers could do whatever they want and bypass the certification altogether because, of course, Apple makes money with the Lightning certifications.
Yeah, but I don't think they do it for financial purposes, even though everyone accuses them of that. You know, they say that they do this. But, you know, I think they do it because they want to ensure a good customer experience. They want to make sure that if you buy something, it's going to work. And of course, you know, the irony is that half the time, you know, you update your iOS and then you plug it into your old, you know, the cigarette lighting charger you have in the car, and it doesn't work anymore. You know, this device won't work any longer. But I don't. Why couldn't they? You know, couldn't they do some kind of software check? I mean, if something was, there must be some kind of handshake, like hardware or software, they could do to ensure that if something was certified, that, you know, that this is a genuine device and it was genuinely certified.
I don't know about that, but here's what I do know. This same commission that is doing this study and may ask Apple to switch to USB, this is the same commission that just fined Google $5 billion. So it's not like this commission doesn't have any teeth. If they decide that Apple needs to do something, they could fine them a lot of money. I mean, $5 billion for Google. I don't remember what that was for. It was probably for something totally benign. But they could force Apple. Yeah, I would guess something
right, like forcing phone makers to use use the Google search engine if they're going to use Android.
Yeah, like something like that. You know,
right?
Something that inhibits competition and forces you to use some aspect of Google that you wouldn't otherwise have used. But, you know, $5 billion. So it's not like they don't have teeth. They could actually penalize Apple in a big way. So it would be interesting to see what happens with this. But Apple, high powered company. They have many lawyers, I'm sure. I wonder how many high-powered lawyers Apple employs and spends money on every year. It's probably hundreds, if not more.
Yeah, yeah. And I wonder. I don't know how much the EU is susceptible to the kind of U.S.-style lobbying.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, they tried this before and it didn't go anywhere.
Right. Well, before, though, it was, hey, would you guys mind going ahead and coming up with a standard that you're all going to use? And everyone else, of course, listened. That's my favorite part of this story. Everyone else is like, hey, sure, let's just use USB. And then Apple's like, we're going to go ahead and use Lightning.
Well, thanks, could Apple get away with shipping some kind of like USB-C to Lightning adapter in all the boxes?
Well, but doesn't that defeat the whole purpose?
Well, I mean, it does,
that's what they're trying to cut down on old chargers and cables that are being thrown away. So wouldn't that kind of defeat the purpose? I don't know. Maybe they could get away with that. So anyway, if you're in the EU, maybe you'll have a USB iPhone going forward. At first, I was kind of resistant to that idea, but then I thought, you know, why not? USB cables are so cheap, and especially USB-C, it's very small. So maybe Apple could work it in some way, and then you wouldn't have to spend money on Lightning cables, which are not cheap. because, you know, Apple has to certify them. So
plus, every time I buy a cable, it breaks down. I mean, the Apple one's all fray. All the third-party ones just stop working after a couple of weeks.
No.
Yeah, all the ones I have.
You're buying the wrong cables.
Well, I've tried a whole bunch. And then if they don't, the kids nick them. So
there's your real problem.
You can't do anything about that.
Well, I was actually going to glue them into the wall.
You know what you need to do is like strip away some of like the wire housing and then plug it in so that when they go to grab it, it just electrocutes them.
Jeez. Booby trap the whole
That's
thing.
That's a good idea.
There you go.
That's a great idea. That'll teach them real quick.
Problem solved. Yeah. Do that once. They'll learn their lesson. Milo comes out. There's smoke coming out of his ears.
And I say, Milo, have you been messing with my cables again?
No. You just pass it on.
All right, great idea. I'm going to do that.
Discipline. It's important. It's important. Okay, so let's move on to the main event here. Big story this week. It turned into worldwide news, and I was surprised to see how huge this story exploded into. But it is a very interesting story. This was Apple removing InfoWars. Leander, why don't you fill us in on like the high-level details? What happened this week?
Yeah, right. So Apple's removed the entire back catalog for the five InfoWars podcasts on iTunes and its podcast app. And one of these shows is called The Daily War Room, hosted by owner and radio host noted conspiracy theorist Alex Jones. Shortly thereafter, Facebook followed up. They also removed the InfoWars page. YouTube then jumped in and they removed the InfoWars channel. And it was also subsequently removed from Pinterest, LinkedIn, and a couple of others too. Spotify, right?
Or yeah, did Spotify first? Pulled their podcast as well.
So they moved the InfoWars page, and then MailChimp jumped in and said they're going to refuse to send InfoWars and Alex Jones emails. And then the website comment host Discuss gave them the boot too. Quote.
That's from Apple, by the way. Yeah, that's from Apple. Oh, no, that's from Pinterest. Sorry, that quote is. You don't have to read the quote. I just put it there because I thought it was funny that they got pulled from Pinterest. Out of all the places to get pulled, Pinterest said that, consistent with their policies, we've taken action against InfoWars, I'm paraphrasing here, because they take action against accounts that repeatedly save content that could lead to harm. And I was like, what was InfoWars saving on their Pinterest account? Were they even using their Pinterest account? What were they pinning? Pictures of weapons or something bizarre like that. Like, they were probably not even using it. So I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, I wonder. That's a good question. I wonder what they were using it for. Probably for the pecker pills that he sells.
You mean the pecker, the solid gold pecker pills? I don't know if he does sell those, stuff, but yeah. I bet you they work pretty well. I mean, look at Alex Jones. He's one of the most passionate, high energy individuals out there. So maybe I should consider taking some of his pills. So, I'm sure, Lander, you probably have a much different perspective than I do. I was alarmed by this, quite honestly. I was surprised, and I was alarmed. And the reason I was alarmed is because I had, up until this point...
Because it's your favorite podcast?
Well, I love the InfoWars podcast, as you know. Well, if you want to talk about InfoWars before we talk about...
Well, let's stick to what you said, because I mean it does raise some very interesting issues.
Yeah, so I just thought about this from a political perspective. Apple pulled a podcast in its entirety. YouTube removed their entire YouTube page, years and years of work. Spotify pulled the podcast, and I just thought this was scary. You have a small group. I think of them as a Silicon Valley, a tech oligopoly that can decide to basically just remove you from the internet for speech that they don't like. And I'm somewhat of a free speech absolutist. I think that everyone should be allowed access to the public discourse, even if you don't like those people, particularly if you don't like those people. I still think that speech should be protected. Now, I get the argument that these are private companies. They can do what they want. I understand that. That's fine. Those companies do have the right to do whatever they want. I still think it's a bad idea. And I was surprised to see that Apple pull this entire series of podcasts because I didn't think that Apple was involved in censorship like this. I don't know if they've ever done anything like this before. I always thought that podcasts were the last bastion of free speech in this technological age. I really did, honestly.
Podcast is the last bastion of free speech.
I really honestly did because there's shadow banning happening on Twitter. YouTube is demonetizing. People are being deplatformed. And I thought, well, with podcasts, it's just a giant iTunes directory that point to URLs where you can go and get someone's audio content. And I didn't think that Apple was involved in curating or censoring or anything like that. Well, so for me, seeing them do this, I was like, wow, totally wrong.
I think, you know, the funny thing is on all the different services, you know, because they've pulled the podcast, but they haven't pulled his app.
Right.
And his app now is one of the most popular in the store. And, it was trending. And I think at one point it was the most popular free app on the store for a while. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't number one, it was definitely number three. I looked a couple of days ago and it was like number
three. I did too. I think I looked yesterday and it was within the top five.
So they have different policies for each of the different services. It's weird. You know, the policy for the App Store is slightly different to from the policy for the, guarding apps is slightly different to that overseeing podcasts. Mm-hmm. I presume because they said the app hasn't actually broken any of the rules in the App Store. But you know, the funny thing is that you know the podcast, like you said, I think was much more. Open, you know, it almost anyone, you know, they'll take almost any podcast and it's, you know, let the market decide. But the App Store has always been curated. Mm-hmm. They've always had restrictions on what they put in the App Store.
That's an interesting perspective, isn't it?
It's always been very, yeah. In fact, it was kind of strict, you know, what you can and cannot get into the App Store.
Mm-hmm. And so it is interesting that the App Store app is still there, but the podcast is gone. Yeah, it's like they reversed their roles.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Huh.
And I agree with you. I mean, I think it is, I don't want these companies to be the arbiters of what, of different media companies. You know, they'll say that this is beyond the pale. And so, and of course, you know, where does it stop? But, I have no love for InfoWars at all. And I think InfoWars is exceptional in the sense that, you know, like it has been so personal and so in the people that it attacks and it's so fabulous, you know, and things I think, you know, it goes beyond the pale with things like the Sandy Hook harassment of the Sandy Hook parents and stuff like that. But nonetheless, you know, I think, you know, I do agree with you in general that it is a dangerous sort of slippery slope when they start to make these different judgments about, you know, what should and shouldn't be in the different services, especially because, you know, they are the de facto internet, especially Facebook.
That's it, right? These technology companies now own the keys to the public square. And let's say you get pulled from YouTube, you get pulled from Facebook, you get pulled from iTunes. Let's say PayPal won't do business with you anymore. MailChimp won't send your email. What are you supposed to do? How are you supposed to have a business? How are you supposed to make a living? What if the grocery store who heard your podcast said, "Ooh, we don't want you shopping here." And it just goes on and on and on and on. Where does this stop? And now those seem like extreme examples. But if you're really disliked, if you have a message that's very unpopular, I could see that happening. I mean, Patreon and PayPal have both deplatformed people who they disagreed with for whatever reason, disagree with their speech or what have you. And if you can't do business with PayPal or Patreon, two of the biggest platforms that people use to crowdfund and make money online, like what are you supposed to do? I don't know. I mean, sell your arts and crafts at the local fair. That's your life going forward. You know, raise chickens and sell eggs.
Yeah, you know, it's a complex argument, and I totally swing. You know, I don't like them making these choices, but I think also it is a bar. Look at Twitter, right? Twitter said that, you know, they haven't, that InfoWars hasn't violated its rules, and it can remain. And look at the debate. I mean, people are absolutely furious with Twitter for doing this, for not removing them the same way that everyone else has. And if you look at Twitter, Twitter's a foul cesspool, like it used to be. You know, I mean, there are parts of it that are great, but in general, I mean, it is, you know, it's really, really toxic. There's a lot of people who've been quitting, like, you know, Maggie Haberman, you know, the New York Times reporter was one of the most recent ones. But there's a lot of people who are saying, I just can't take Twitter anymore because it is too, you know, poisonous. There's too much harassment and invective and hatred and anger. if they don't police it, it becomes unusable. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, a lot of people have made an argument that InfoWars is injecting, you know, really toxic content into the network, and that the network is much better off without it. And like something like InfoWars would never, it is purely an animal of the internet, isn't it? There's no way in previous eras that Alex Jones would have gotten a mouth, you know, like a megaphone, like, you know, the internet. Like he never would have been allowed on like a TV network or a cable channel. You know, that kind of stuff wouldn't have the gatekeepers
well, no,
there.
He started off in public television. You know, like those public access stations. Okay. I think that's how he started.
AM radio. Okay, AM radio, right? Maybe one of the things. But, you know, definitely no mainstream media system would allow this kind of content on.
Sure, I agree with you there. But that's one of the things that I like about our current age is there is... You can go other places besides mainstream media now. There is that model of, you know, buttoned up network television delivering you the news nightly. Here's the news. I'm Tom Brokaw. You know, that doesn't exist anymore. And most of the news outlets that I visit are just single proprietors on YouTube who just follow, you know, like the news and give me information. You said something earlier that I wanted to address. You said that InfoWars was toxic. Now, I don't have a ton of exposure with InfoWars. The most that I've seen of Alex Jones is I saw him on the Joe Rogan podcast, which I talked to you about a while ago, Leander. Mm-hmm. I thought it was wildly entertaining. I was laughing my ass off. Him and Joe Rogan were drinking and smoking a little bit of the Chiba. And they were talking about all sorts of totally bizarre and wacky topics. They were talking about Pizzagate, which I knew nothing about. And I don't think Joe Rogan knew very much about it either. But the more Alex Jones presented his arguments about why he thought it was a real thing or could be a real thing, it was very convincing. I'll just put that out there.
Come on.
I will just...
You're going to be grabbing a gun next and going down to Washington, D.C. and shooting up some pizza place, right?
I was
Which
so
is exactly
convinced
what someone did.
I got on InfoWars and I ordered 10 bottles of penis pills. And let me tell you, those things, they work.
Yeah, there you go.
So my point is this, though. It's hard to tell what's true and what's not. Sometimes when people say things that are crazy... Those things are crazy, but sometimes crazy things end up being true, and it's impossible to determine what's true and what's not these days.
I fundamentally disagree.
You think that a news organization or Apple can decide what type of information you should or should not hear?
Well, he had real world consequences. Pizzagate being a very good example. They had some Looney Tune went down and shut up at Washington D.C. pizza place. And the worst one is the Sandy Hook stuff. I mean, that really is abhorrent. But he also peddles, you know, like he I mean, just recently, I was just looking at a CNN story today. You know, he's very anti-Muslim. He's always going on about Muslims. He's very homophobic, transsexuals, transvestites. There's a lot of toxicity, and it's daily. And he's attacking whole groups of people. With what I think is a form of harassment. And the Sandy Hook parents definitely have been harassed. You know, there's one family that is suing him right now in Austin, Texas. They had to move 5 times or 7 times, something like that, because, you know, they were getting harassed
What did he do when you say he harassed them? I heard that he made a statement
about how...
Well,
he was the main promoter of the theory that they're crisis actors.
Okay.
This was all
but that's
like
not harassing them, right? I mean, that's just putting out a theory, as deplorable as it is.
Right, but then it gets picked up by, you know, a bunch of kooks who then, you know, go and do the harassing.
But see, you got to be careful there, because by your same logic...
I think
logic,
he's directly responsible.
Well, your same logic, you could blame Bernie Sanders for the shooting of Steve Scalise, couldn't you?
For
because
what happened there?
The guy who ended up going and shooting up, what was it, like that Republican baseball game or something, he was a Bernie bro.
Well,
and he was full of all these kooky arguments. I don't know if he got them from Bernie Sanders or from...
Well, he had the Republicans, right.
Yeah, he hates Republicans, so he probably listens.
Yeah, but see, there's a clearer line, I think, with the Sandy Hook hoaxes between, you know, to Alex Jones, because he was one of the main promoters of that. Not the only one for sure, but one of the main ones. I mean, I think there's a clearer line between that, you know, him and that particular kooky theory. The guy that shot up, you know, Scalise. I mean, you could say the same thing for all the right-wing terrorism that goes on in this country. I mean, who's to blame for that? Is it the GOP?
No, I think it's the people who I think people who commit those acts are the ones to blame. I don't think that you can blame someone else's speech for someone else's actions. You know, like unless they're directly inciting it, they're saying like you need to go kill.
Targeted assassinations. They've been killing clerics assassinating, you know, Muslim clerics who espouse, you know, radical, you know, sort of Islamic, who inspire, you know, so-called radical Islamic terrorists.
You're saying in the U.S. this happens?
Well, there was, you know, there was one famous case a couple of years ago with a U.S. clerk that was hiding in Syria, and he was assassinated with a drone, and it was one. This is under Obama. This is one of the first cases where they were saying, you know, like it was an extrajudicial execution, and it was because, you know, he was some people would argue that he was a non-combatant. You know, he hadn't picked up a gun, but he'd inspired a lot of people to commit, you know, anti-Western terrorism.
I think this is the crux of the issue. I think that we've reached it, and that is, I still think that even if speeches, even if there is some speech that you hate, even if you think people are saying something that is disgusting, I still think that it deserves to exist, and I don't think that it should be censored. And only for the reason that if you start censoring that speech, what speech is next? What other speech out there may seem deplorable, may seem gross, may seem crazy, and you might say, okay, well, that's next. That has to go too. There is, once you get rid of the absolutist boundary of speech should be allowed, you can say whatever you want as long as you're not inciting violence.
Well, you see, that's the thing.
The line disappears and you can go after anything.
It's the famous First Amendment test, right?
Yeah.
That was decided by the Supreme Court when they said that, you know, you can do anything. You know, there is such a thing as free speech, but you can't, in a crowded movie theater, you can't jump up and shout fire, because it creates a hazard, you know, public hazard. And I think this is why they were saying that, you know, this is what Apple said. The reason they booted Alex Jones is because he crossed that line. You know, he was harassing and causing actual harm.
Hmm. And see, in the content that I've seen of Alex Jones, he is kind of like the Hulk Hogan of the political realm. He rips his shirt off. He is very animated. He yells a lot. And when I watched him on Joe Rogan, I'm like, I can't really tell what of this is performance and what of this is actually serious.
Well, he said in court, you know, he said he shouldn't be, no one should take him seriously because he's a performance artist.
Well, there you go. So if he's an artist, are you telling me that Apple took him down because his art was to be taken seriously? I mean, that kind of defeats your own argument, doesn't it?
It's crossed over the line, you see, where there's actual real world harm.
See, but for me, that line doesn't exist where you've placed it, because you're saying that he caused real world harm, but I don't see where he was directing anyone to harass anyone, to commit acts of violence, to take up arms against anyone.
The Sandy Hook is a good example, you see. Yeah. I mean, like he's saying, the Sandy Hook, the kids were never killed, the parents are crisis actors, the whole thing is an elaborate plot by the government to take away, you know, your guns. And, you know, it's caused real harm and real heartache for the Sandy Hook parents.
And I'm not saying that hasn't. I mean, clearly that's a completely bizarre theory.
Well, it's also abhorrent.
Yeah, yeah.
It's one of the foulest tragedies in this country I've seen in recent times.
Right. You know, I mean, it's
so heartless.
Really terrible.
It's awful. I mean, and I hate him for that. I mean, I can't forgive him. Even if I do find him amusing, like you.
Yeah. And my thing is also is I always try to research this stuff whenever I can for myself to hear exactly what the person said, because often I find, like, via the telephone game, people's words get changed when you go from one person to the next. And then you hear that he said one thing, and then you go and hear his words, and you're like, oh, well, the context was removed, or what he said doesn't really align with what I'm hearing that he said. So it's hard for me to accept as facts some of the things I've heard that he has said, right? Because I haven't investigated it.
That is exactly
again,
right.
All I saw was him on Joe Rogan, which was really hilarious.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when I heard this, my first reaction was like, well, I think, you know, there should be better media literacy.
Yeah.
Like, why do people, you know, follow this stuff? Why do they believe it? I mean, surely there's some, you know, I see this stuff on Twitter all the time. That, you know, I like stuff. And I go, and several times I've gone, you know, I found out afterwards that, you know, what I liked was completely bogus.
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy to do, isn't it? Because, you know, all of this stuff is not designed, but it you know, it pushes your emotional buttons. And if it isn't true, you want it to be true. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Especially political stuff and stuff in the cultural sphere. And it's easy to, like, you know, to be lazy about what you believe.
Well, especially because we're all so busy. You only have so much time in the day. And especially right now, news is so frequent. I mean, the news happens hot and heavy. Every day is something new, and it's impossible for me to sort it all out every day because I just don't have the time, man. I have a life. You know, I'm hustling. I'm making the cult cast. You know, right. That takes a solid hour and a half a week. You know, I've got time for all this other stuff. So I didn't mean for this to turn into a indictment in any way of Alex Jones. Again, I don't know much about Alex Jones. I don't know much about InfoWars. And I was just alarmed, and I continue to be more alarmed when I hear companies banning people from these major platforms for murky, opaque reasons. I mean, Apple said he participated in hate speech. I don't even know what that means. What does that mean? What did he say specifically?
Well, I think they do have it defined, and you can look it up in their, you know, terms of service. That thing you click, the 40-page.
I know, but those terms of service, Leander, oftentimes are very opaque. I mean, they say sensory things like we don't tolerate hate speech. Can anyone give me a definition of what hate speech is? I honestly don't know. It doesn't seem like anyone has agreed to one definition of what that means. To me, that means anything that offends Apple. If Apple doesn't like it,
I don't know about that. I think hate speech is pretty well defined in statutes. Like there are laws against hate speech, right?
Not in the U.S. No, you can literally say whatever you want in the U.S. as long as you're not threatening someone. Yeah.
All right, let's look this up because I'm not.
I feel like the U.S. might be one of the few countries left that actually still allows, you know, all speech. I don't know. Lewis, we're sitting here. We're going on and on and on. You know, what do you think? Or are you too smart to say anything about this? Lewis is like, I don't, no comment. I don't want to say anything.
I'm totally with you, Irfan. I mean, I don't like these big companies making these decisions in this black box. I mean, I would be a lot more comfortable with it if Apple actually said, here is what he said that we found objectionable. But no, it's like, it's hate speech. Okay, well, what is that? I mean, you know, and Leander's sitting here saying, oh, well, he did all these things. I mean, I bet you not one of us has actually heard what Alex Jones said about Sandy Hook. And who has time? Who has time to search it out and find out exactly? I mean, for sure the guy's, wacky and has ridiculous conspiracy theories and repeats them. But I think the Sandy Hook thing, didn't that come from Reddit or something? Or 4chan? I mean,
see, this your point, you're illustrating your own point. I feel like none of us even really know exactly what he said. I mean, I don't because I've never looked. I just hear what people say that he said.
Right. And you talk to anybody in San Francisco and they say, oh, well, he's constantly talking hate speech. He's homophobic and transphobic. And I don't know. Is he? I have no idea. I tell you one thing. I don't trust the mainstream media that much anymore because I constantly see people. It's all fake news. No, literally see people take a single sentence that Trump or anybody else says and completely twist the meaning of it. Completely twist it.
Well, CNN has a story today that I read this morning saying that, you know, Twitter won't ban Alex Jones because he hasn't broken their rules. And specifically a rule on harassment and hate speech, which they instituted in December 2017. So they said that he might have done some stuff in the past that might have broken this rule, but they don't retroactively go back and enforce it. So CNN has a long article. It's like a good 6 pages. One, two, three, four screens, five screens, and which they've documented with links, a bunch of different times that they think Alex Jones has posted on Twitter stuff that would break, would be in violation of Twitter's policies, including stuff about Sandy Hook, the Parkland shooting, gender identity, the Muslim faith, and then targeting, harassment, and glorifying violence. So I don't know, you know, like you're a journalist, Lewis. You've worked in journalism for a long, long time. This is, you know, I would believe this story. It's documented. They've got links to the actual tweets.
Where is this?
And on CNN. I mean, I can show
you. I'd have to go look
at
the tweets because, I mean, that was a long list of indictments. And I'm like, well, what exactly did he say? I mean, was he inciting violence against
these people?
Or was he
documented.
Just saying, stating his opinion about those groups
of bullshit.
People?
You can't just say, I don't believe the fake news. I don't believe CNN. Everything they do is fake. That's fucking bullshit.
Everything.
They've got it here.
Only
it's
like
well
70%.
Fucking documented. And I haven't watched InfoWars. You know, I don't watch it because the guy's a toxic asshole. I'm glad he's off the fucking internet. I hope he commits suicide.
Well, see, there you go.
There's your hate speech, right? There
is see that what you just said, couldn't that be classified as hate speech? I mean,
yeah, I don't
Right? See, that's the point. That is the point. And I think that you should be allowed to say that with no repercussions. I don't think Apple should be monitoring our podcast, and we both know that Tim Cook listens fervently.
Yeah, but we don't attack gays, Muslims,
Sandy
Hook parents.
Oh, so it's okay to attack him, but it's not okay to attack them.
Oh, come on. This is the one time we've discussed the asshole.
I know, but that's my point is... No, it should be okay for you to say whatever you want about him. You don't like him, that's fine. But it's okay for you to say whatever you want about him, but it's not okay for him to say whatever he wants about others. That's the double standard that I see happening sometimes. And I'm like, I think anyone should be able to say whatever they want about anyone. And if you don't like it, just tune it out. That's what I do. I see stuff I don't like all the time
online. Karl Popper had a good argument about that. You know, but, and he was a philosopher that was... That fled the Nazi regime and ended up living in London. And he said that, you know, if you're tolerant, you can't be tolerant of people who are intolerant. Because if you allow them to be, you know, if you allow them to come to power, just like they did in Germany, and then when intolerance takes over, the first thing they do is, you know, suppress the voices of those who are tolerant. So intolerance will take over. So, you know, like, and so I agree, you know, like in principle, free speech, everyone should be free to say whatever they want, but not if you're intolerant, because what happens is that the intolerance starts to suppress tolerance. If you want a tolerant society, you cannot tolerate intolerance. It's almost a paradox, but
you just made my eyes cross, and you're making me dizzy. But it sounds to me, I've heard that argument before. I don't particularly like that argument because it sounds to me like somebody is justifying their own intolerance because they don't like what someone else is saying.
I can see how it's twisted to that, but it's not really because you're targeting people who are intolerant.
Well, you think they're intolerant, but what if you're wrong?
Well, I think it's fairly easy to identify.
Well, yeah, of course you do because that's your opinion. See, this is my point. Is it so hard? So one person says, well, clearly that person's being intolerant, but how many listeners does Alex Jones have? I think it's probably millions. Those people would probably disagree with you. And so why does one group of people, the people... in these technology companies get to say, well, those people are all wrong. Let's go ahead and just kick him off because
it doesn't matter how big his audience is. He's clearly intolerant. He's intolerant against, you know, people of a different sexuality, people of different faith, people who don't believe in the Second Amendment an interpretation of the Second Amendment that I have to wholeheartedly disagree with. But I think he's quite clearly intolerant. He's not. He's not. You know. He's the very opposite end of the scale. You know. You know of the classic sort of, you know, liberal free speech.
I find that to be an interesting argument because you say that he's intolerant, but he's the one having actions taken against him. And I was reading yesterday that he was saying that he's not even mad at Apple. Or I'm paraphrasing here because I don't remember exactly what it said, but that. That it was Apple's right to do what they did and their private company. And I was like, oh, so he's even cool with them kicking him off, but he's the one that's having actions taken against him. The whole thing is dizzying. I hear your points. I've heard that point before. And, you know, there's a part of that point that makes sense to me, but I also think in a way it falls apart when you actually start to use that perspective in a pragmatic way, because if you're not be tolerant towards people who you think are not tolerant, well, then you're not living in a tolerant society.
In the UK, there's a press standards body that is quite powerful, and they oversee what's said in the press. And I got to admit, the British press is like, you know, a lot of times all over the place. I mean it. You know, the tabloids are absolutely sort of, you know, kind of crazy. I guess I'm actually thinking about it now. That's not a good example. It only works in, like, you know, with broadcasting and stuff like that. But, you know, like in the UK on the main, you know, in the sort of mainstream news, it's a lot more. You can't get away with that kind of thing, like saying that's stuff that's frankly untrue. Into the sphere, and I think it's a good standard to have because otherwise the public discourse is really, really toxic.
Poisonous. But it's so hard to determine. I feel like we're going around in circles now. So
I don't know if it is. And you're right. I looked it up as well. You know, like there is no hate speech in this country because it's protected by the First Amendment.
I saw Rosie O'Donnell
O'Donnell.
Okay, so I saw her on Jake Tapper's show, I think. And he was talking to her about Donald Trump, and they were talking about his rallies or something. And she was trying to argue that the people at his rallies, because you've seen like news coverage of his rallies, there's like all these like thousands of people there. She was trying to make the argument that those people are actors. And I'm like, are you serious? Like this is a conspiracy theory. Like you think all those people there are paid actors or extras? I mean, that's her argument. And Jake Tapper's face was hilarious. He's like, you can tell you didn't know what to say. Cause he's like, well, I don't think they're actors, Rosie, but that's a person giving their opinion. And it's clearly totally crazy. I mean, should she be shut up too? I mean, where do we draw the line?
Well, you know, she's gone on. There's all kinds of crazy. You can turn the TV on 24/7.
That's exactly my point.
But no, but there's this kind of middle ground, I think, where reasonable people will agree on what's true and what's not. We're in a very strange time, you know. Like, I mean, you know, Trump. You know, some media organizations have been trying to document, you know, the number of untruths that he says. I mean, I don't think you could. I know that. All right, I don't know if I want it. Let's not debate.
Yeah,
Trump.
Let's. I actually think we did a really good job, and I applaud you, especially Leander, because I think we come from this from different angles, and we didn't get political. I don't really think that we did, and neither of us started yelling. And
except for
I think
death threat.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna. I put a death threat in Slack for you, but that's not spoken, so that's okay, right? And we've been talking about this for quite a while. So interesting topic. It seems like it bothers me more than it bothers you, I think is a fair way to sum it up. Leander, is that right?
Well, no, I agree with you. No, like, you know, to a certain degree. I think Jones is like a particularly toxic example. And personally, you know, like emotionally, I'm super glad he's gone.
Right.
But I think you're right. I mean, we're an independent media organization ourselves. And in fact, we have had all kinds of tangles with different people. Like Google all the time, you know, says we'll suspend advertising, you know, on posts that it says contains sex or whatever.
Yeah, really. Right.
But often
there's
news stories.
No way to contest it.
Right.
No, it's a black box. Yeah, there's no way to contest that sort of stuff. We've been kicked off Apple News before. You know, for stupid technical stuff.
For formatting errors.
Yeah. But, you know, but you're right. You know, like Apple kicks us off. You know, who do we turn to? What do we do?
There's no due process. They just point you to the terms of service and say, well, you committed, you know, error A.X.23.5. Sorry. Or they don't even tell you that. They just say you violated our terms of service. Sorry. And you have nothing you can do.
Yeah, usually it's as opaque as that.
That's just scary. And I've seen other YouTubers who have been demonetized, deplatformed, and YouTube is a black box, famously, and they can't do anything. I mean, they have a whole lifetime of work just flushed down the drain. And to me, a lot of people are using YouTube as their means of making a living now, and they're creating content, and then YouTube just, you know, flushes their channel, and it's like there's nothing you can do about it. Like, what other aspects of the economy can you have your business flush down the toilet like that? I mean, imagine if you have a coffee shop and your lease or your guy who is leasing your building says, I don't like your political opinions, you're out of here next month. And it's like, what? I mean, that would be absurd, right? I mean, that would never happen to you.
I don't know. I'm sure that happens all the time.
Yeah, maybe it does. Anyway, gosh, we've gone on about this for so long. Let's talk about this Samsung Unpacked event, and then we'll wrap up with, on a lighter note, I've got a really great pick for what we're into this week. It was a bright spot in all the news that happened in the last, how many months into the year are we? Five? Six?
Eight.
I don't even know. 8 months? Thank you. It's probably one of the best pieces of news I've heard all year long. I was so excited about it, and so I'm excited to share that with you guys. And an all-new What We're Into. This is turning into a two-hour podcast episode. But before we continue here, let me say thank you to LinkedIn for supporting this episode. The right hire can make a huge impact in your business. Look at Colt and Mack. They have top-tier talent, which is why that business is just humming along. Creating the best content on the internet, dare I say. Lewis, wouldn't you agree?
Oh, the best.
The best. That's why it's so important to find the right person. But where do you find them? There aren't just busters hanging out in a parking lot in the restaurant that you're eating at. Okay, maybe there are. But if you want to broaden your business, bring in great employees, instead of posting jobs on job boards, you want to find the person who will help you grow your business Do that on LinkedIn. As one of the world's largest professional networks, people go to LinkedIn every day to grow professionally and discover job opportunities. 70% of the U.S. workforce is already on LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs matches people to your role based on who they really are, their skills, their interests, and even how open they are to new opportunities. This way, your job gets seen by more of the right people. Most LinkedIn members haven't recently visited the top job boards, but 9 out of 10 members are open to new opportunities, so you can only reach them on LinkedIn. That's why a new hire is made every 10 seconds on LinkedIn. Businesses rate LinkedIn 40% higher than job boards at delivering quality candidates. Here's what you need to do. Hurry on over to LinkedIn.com, LinkedIn.com/cultcast, and you will get $50 off your first job post. That's LinkedIn.com/cultcast to get $50 off your first job post. LinkedIn.com/cultcast, terms and conditions do apply. Okay, let's talk about this Samsung event. They launched announced all their hot new gadgets, and there were some interesting pieces of technology being brought to the stage. Leander, which was the one that you thought was the most curious and maybe ripped off Apple the most?
Well, I guess the speaker, obviously. It looks like a witch's cauldron.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
And it works with, what's the name of their?
Bixby.
Bixby, yeah. That I think that's clearly like a, you know, Me Too product. But I'm interested in the phone, you know, the Galaxy Note 9.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's, you know, has a lot of, the size is going to be very similar to the iPhone 10 Plus that Apple's, you know, more than likely going to be announcing.
Are you going to buy one, Leander? Are you thinking about buying one?
Well, I get, you know, for like every time we do this, for professional reasons, yeah, right. I do, because, you know, we're going to review it. But
maybe they'll send you one, though.
Yeah, I don't. You know, I was actually. It's a good point, because I'm wondering if this is going to be too big now. I've got so used to the iPhone 10 and the smaller screen size.
Yeah.
That you know, I may not like it. It may be too big.
Oh, I bet you'll warm up to it when Apple comes out with that that 10 Plus or whatever they call it. You'll be like, ooh, this is terrible. It's way too big. And the next day, you'll be like, this is the perfect phone size.
Yeah. Well, I do like the big phones, don't you?
I do. I like the big phones a lot, and I do like the iPhone 10, but I like the aspect ratio of the Plus model phones better. I've never quite gotten used to the skinniness of the screen of the iPhone 10, so I am looking forward to getting my hands on that big old surfboard, the 10 Plus, whatever they ended up calling it. The Galaxy Note 9 phone, it's not just big, it's got a big old price tag as well. Doesn't it start at $1,150?
No, it starts at $1,000, but it goes up to $1,300.
I genuinely wonder if people are going to be willing to spend that much on a Samsung phone. You know, Apple commands a premium. Their devices, people are used to spending a little bit more on them. But for a Samsung Galaxy Note, that's not going to hold its retail or its resale value as well as an Apple product? I don't think so.
I don't know. You know, people are willing to drop a lot of money on phones these days. I mean, I think, you know, I think Apple showed that, didn't they? I mean, people said the same thing about the iPhone 10, and it's been a big hit.
Yeah, Apple was able to pull it off. I wonder if Samsung could pull it off.
Samsung's hardware is real nice. I mean, every time I've picked one up, I've always gone, this is really nice piece of hardware. They do make nice stuff.
Their phones particularly are very nice. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but
with
then
you.
It's always let down by the, you know, horrible Android.
Right, you're using Android. You know, and I think the version of Android on the Note is a skinned version of Android, so it's not even like the pure real deal. I always said if I was going to go Android, I would go the stock Android phone.
Right, and well, it's running an old version of Android. It's going to run 8.1,
not
the latest one.
So you're spending over $1,000 for a phone using software that's already outdated, yeah. Right? That's a hard selling point. And people spending that much money generally know what they're getting themselves into. Like, they're smart. When you're spending that much money, you're a smart buyer. You're not just going to plurk that money down for any old product.
Don't they have good cameras as well?
Samsung? You mean like point-and-shoot cameras or the phones?
No, the phones.
I heard the phones have great cameras. Like,
they're not as good as the Pixels, though. They're supposed to be the gold standard.
I hear varying opinions. Some people like the Pixels. Some people like Samsung cameras. Some people love the iPhone. I think it kind of depends on your personal taste, because they're all so good that there are distinguishing factors about each type of camera. But yeah, it probably depends on your personal taste. Also, they announced a new Samsung Galaxy Watch, which interestingly is not running Android. It's going to run Samsung's own operating system, Tizen, OS 4.0. I'm sure there'll be a plethora of app support for that, no doubt. Of course, the interesting thing about the Samsung watch is that it's round. I've always liked round watches more than square. It's one of my biggest complaints about the Apple Watch. Yeah. I wish they would make it round. Were you agreeing with me over there, Lewis?
Yeah, I mean, look at that thing. It looks like an actual watch.
It looks like a real watch, an honest-to-goodness watch. And then, of course, as Leander said, there's the Galaxy Home smart speaker, which features Bixby. It has 8 far-field microphones, 6 built-in speakers, and a subwoofer. And you can activate the phrase, or you can activate the speaker smart assistant by saying, "Hey, Bixby." We'll see how well that works. I haven't heard anyone give any glowing reviews of Bixby yet. It kind of seems like Samsung is catching up.
Yeah, I don't see anything about Bixby. I don't see people talking about it. I don't see people liking it, people hating it, and I don't hear anything.
I think it was pretty limited in version 1. I think these new devices are ushering in version 2, which is supposed to be better in many ways. I couldn't tell you which ways because I'm not really following it that closely. I think the best part of today's announcement, the part that amused me the most, was Samsung's shamelessly similar version of the Apple Air Power Mat, they call theirs the Charger Duo Mats. And the hilarious part is it looks like Samsung is going to be shipping theirs before Apple even gets theirs out the door. So the ripoff version is going to be shipping before Apple's own Air Power Mat. What is taking them so long?
Yeah, fast following. Well, there was a report, wasn't there, earlier this year? They said it's actually a really complex product. A lot more complex than you might imagine. You know, I mean, even though Samsung might get it out the door, I mean, what are the chances it's going to burst into flames when you put your phone on?
Only like 25%.
I don't know about that. It's like 75.
You're going to wake up, you're like, why is it so bright in my room? Oh, it's because my phone's on fire. And so is my lamp and my carpet. Run!
Right.
Yeah, I don't know how comfortable I would feel charging my devices next to my bed with that. It'd probably be fine. But, you know, still, it's funny that Samsung's version of the Air Power Mat is probably going to come out before Apple's own version. So there are the highlights from the Samsung event, just so you know what competing products are out there. Let's go ahead and wrap up with an all-new What We're Into. This is the segment where we talk about the things that don't necessarily always fit into the show. They may not be technology-related. They usually have to do with movies, television shows, entertainment, what have you. Oh my goodness. I feel like I should go last because mine is just so exciting. I don't want to trump your picks. Do you guys want to go first?
Sure.
What do you got, Lewis, for us, Lander?
Okay. I really enjoyed the new Mission Impossible movie.
I heard it was good.
I really liked it. Yeah, I had a blast.
Yeah,
it's great from beginning to end. Fantastic, total great action movie.
Wait, hold on. We have to stop and take a moment to acknowledge and appreciate that Leander Caney just said something positive about a movie.
No kidding,
starring A-list actors, no less. This movie doesn't have any subtitles. It's just a pure American action
British comedy, right?
Yeah, exactly. I can hardly believe what I'm hearing. I wish Buster were. He's not going to believe it.
It's fantastic. It's like a great, mainly because of all the stunts, right? They're real stunts. Cruise is doing all this stuff. And you can tell. Like, I hate the comic book movies because nothing is in jeopardy.
Uh-huh.
There's no danger, right? And it's also fake and stupid looking. You know, it's like, you can tell, it's all CGI and it's so boring. But this, you know, was visceral and real. Like, when he's riding a motorbike through Paris, it was really, really thrilling. It was totally fantastic and exciting. I was really, really into it. And of course, you know, like, there's a ton of great set pieces. It's really humorous. There's a bunch of really good, like, great little one-liners. The plot is completely baffling.
Huh.
Like, there are so many different twists and turns, and it's unclear about whose loyalties lie where. It's completely impossible to follow the plot.
Mission impossible to follow.
Right.
And Simon Pegg is in it. And I don't think I've ever seen a Simon Pegg movie that I didn't like. He is one of my favorite actors.
Yeah, he's fun.
He's great. And he's British, which I like pretty much all British people. I was going to say something else about the movie, but I can't recall what it was. Oh, what number Mission Impossible is this? Isn't it like 25? Mission Impossible 25? The mission is still impossible.
I think it's 20 years old now because I think the first one came out in 97.
I think you might be
crazy.
Right. I think really? You might be right. Wow. The first three, too, were not my favorite. I thought they kind of got repetitive, but the more recent ones have just been one blockbuster after another. I mean, is there any better action series than Mission Impossible now? I feel like probably not.
Yeah. I agree. I think it's Eclipse Bond.
And it takes you on a whirlwind tour all around the world. I mean, you get to see all these like exotic locations in Europe and stuff, which is really cool.
Yeah.
So, okay, Mission Impossible. What's it called? Ghost Protocol? Or was that the last one?
Fallout.
No, that was the last one. Fallout.
Got it. Mission Impossible. Fallout. Okay, Lewis, your thoughts on your pick.
All right. This is another one of those TV shows that I've been meaning to watch for a while. I finally got around to watching it. It's called The Orville. The Orville. Have you seen this?
Is that the Seth
MacFarlane.
MacFarlane Star Trek series?
Yeah. I don't even know how to pronounce it. Isn't that sad? I just started watching it. It's a weird show. I mean, I'm only three episodes into this. It came out last year. And season two comes out at the end of this year. It's like a Star Trek original series spoof, but it's part comedy, it's part drama a little bit. And of course, you know, Seth MacFarlane, he plays like the captain of this kind of. It's not like, you know, the big powerful Star Trek Enterprise, best in the fleet. It's like, you know, kind of a dumpy. You know, exploratory ship or something, you know? And I mean, you know, there's a lot of kind of semi-raunchy humor and all that, but, you know, he finally gets command of this thing. He's kind of been a screw-up his whole career, and he gets this mysterious, you know, we don't have a first officer for you yet, but then they bring one in, and it's his ex-wife who, you know, cheated on him. You know, so there's all this bickering back and forth between the two of them constantly, every situation, bickering this, you know, he's always bringing up her cheating on him, and, you know, his buddy is I don't know what, the helmsman or something, you know, and he's like a drunken fool drinking a beer. You know, I mean, the whole thing is...
It sounds great.
It's pretty goofy, and it's pretty good. But then, you know, the last episode I watched, it was about, you know, one of the other officers on there, the main characters, is from this alien race that they're only men. And so he and his husband are having a kid, but it's like... He lays an egg, and he has to, I need like 2 weeks off because I got to go sit on the egg,
incubate the
in
egg.
His quarters, you know, and that's hilarious, right? But then the thing is, then the kid's born and the kid's a girl, and they're like, what? Oh, you know, this is, there are no women in our thing, and then it turns out like, you know, they want to do a sex change on the baby, and it ended up being like a serious episode, you know, and there was humor and stuff, but it was really, I was kind of just like, whoa, what a shocker that was. I was not expecting it to go where it went, you know?
Yeah, you can't turn...
Going boldly into places where no one's ever been before.
It's like a mixture of Star Trek and Police Academy.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, Star Trek, the original series, did that kind of stuff too, right? I mean, they dealt with big topics that were important, And you know, it wasn't all about jokes, but this is,
well,
so
the jokes were sprinkled
mix.
In. It wasn't like, I mean, the premise of the show you're talking about, it sounds like a comedy.
And it definitely is a comedy. But then it's like this total left turn. This episode was just like, wow, you know, bickering jokes, and then this big kind of topic, social issue.
I mean, you can't have two males from an alien species lay an egg on your ship. And then turn that into something serious. It's like, one of them has to lay an egg, so he needs time off to incubate the egg. Like, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
You can't turn that into something serious at the end. That's totally weird.
They did. It is weird. And I think that's one of the reasons that you know, it's got, like, if you go look at Rotten Tomatoes, it's got, you know, critical consensus of, like, you know, 23%, right? Mm-hmm. Critics hate it. But then if you look at, like, fan reviews, it's like 93% people love it.
Well,
you know?
It's Seth MacFarlane. I mean, all the stuff he does is weird, and people are drawn to the fringes sometimes in that regard. You know, they like seeing stuff that's just totally unlike anything else.
Yeah. But, you know, it's weird. It's got a little bit of, you know, that sort of, like, 1960s optimism from Star Trek, you know? Like, I don't know. I definitely, I like it. You know, like I said, just starting to watch it and get into it, but... I think it's definitely worth watching. I'm really glad I started. So,
what network is that on?
It's on FX, I think. Oh God!
Oh, you have cable, don't you? Jeez.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, you know what? It's I think it's just Fox, isn't it? I don't know. God,
you're watching it on a television connected to connected to cable?
Yeah. It's,
wow.
It's,
okay.
It's Fox. You know, I'm watching it. I'm watching on DVR, and you can go like I don't know. If for the longest time, like if you go look at I think the FX Now app on your Apple TV, you can watch it. But of course, you have to watch it with like commercial breaks that you can't even get through. Right? I mean,
but you can watch it for free.
Yeah, it's totally free. Oh, okay. If you have that Apple TV thing. But, you know, you probably have to sign in with your, I don't know. Everything's so complicated, right? You have to sign in with your TV cable subscriber. But then why would you have to do that? Because it was on TV regularly. Now you're definitely going to watch all the ads anyway. I mean, it's ironic to me when you watch something like that on one of these apps and suddenly you're actually watching more commercials than you ever did before.
Oh, it's so aggravating, isn't it? It's like...
Can't stand
it. The irony is people are fleeing cable because of the model they have on cable where they show you a program, they literate it with ads, and then people are moving into the apps. And now they're just piping the cable into the apps where they're showing you the exact same thing. And they're like, look how new and novel this business model is. Now you can get your cable on an app. Well, it's like, well, yeah, but it's still the same thing. You're showing me a set, you know, schedule of programming, and I had to sit there and watch all of it, and then you're going to litter it with ads unless I pay you even more money. Like the series from CBS All Access.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking into subscribing to that, and I'll tell you why in just a minute here. And it's $9.99 a month if you don't want ads. Otherwise, it's $5.99 a month, but you have to watch ads.
God.
So I'm subscribing to you for $6 a month, and you're going to start showing me ads on these network television shows? I find that very unpalatable.
Yeah, and you know, I never had seen this before because I don't really use these things. But on this Fox Now app, it does a thing where it gets the commercial break. You know, this aired on broadcast, right? So very, you know, that tempo of like, 5, 6, 8 minutes, and then there's an ad break, right? Everything's set up around it. Well, you get to it, and it says, do you want to watch one interactive ad or three regular ads?
Oh.
Like, wow, what the? So you click the interactive one, and it basically, I don't know, I guess it's like they're happy that you clicked on it, and then at the end, you can click something for more information on, you know, the car that you're never going to buy. But it was just weird. And so, you know, what I always do is just get it on the DVR and then just fast forward through everything. And they're starting to rerun these things now. So
it's endlessly amusing to me that people are still having to DVR things that yeah, are just broadcast.
And then the you have to like, to do it.
You fast forward through the commercials. That's hilarious to me. Okay. We're running so long. So let me pitch my pick here. That is, I'm sure you guys probably heard the news that Patrick Stewart is returning, is reprising his beloved role as Captain Jean-Luc Picard in a new Star Trek series. I just about died when I heard this. That's how excited I was. You guys
really?
Know I'm close personal friends with Patrick Stewart.
Saw that on Twitter.
We have photos together. I can prove it to you. No, it's not a photo from Madame Tussauds. He was there. It was the real person. And I had my arm on him. I don't know if you caught that, Lewis. I actually put my hand on his shoulder, which I must have just done instinctually. But like when I look at the picture in hindsight, I'm like, I can't believe he let me touch him. I'm surprised he didn't like slap my hand. He doesn't know me, right? I had my hand on Patrick Stewart's shoulder. He didn't say anything.
Oh God!
I mean, would you let me
just
touch
so
you?
Appalled. He just,
I wouldn't let me touch you.
Unhand me.
Unhand me, sir. Yeah, and it's like, where did he get that fencing sword from? Anyway. The Star Trek The Next Generation was one of the most beloved shows from my youth. I watched probably all of the episodes in the entire 7 years it was on television. And it's interesting, Jean-Luc Picard took on a father figure role throughout the series. And that's kind of how I thought about him. And I'm sure I'm not alone. People who watched that show when they were younger probably thought about him as a father figure. They touched on all these different real life scenarios and... he had a relationship with Wesley Crusher whose father had died. So he had like this fatherly figure role towards Wesley Crusher. And I was about the same age as Wesley Crusher, maybe a little bit younger. And so I just have this great love for Jean-Luc Picard and that series. And I never thought, I don't think anyone saw this coming, that he would ever take on that role again. I mean, he's this huge AAA actor now. He's in all these big movies, and for him to come back and do a new Star Trek series reprising Jean-Luc Picard and the life after the next generation. So it's going to start, you know, sometime after he is not captain anymore, and just follow his life. I don't know how they're going to make that interesting, but I'm interested to see what they do. And I just never thought that would ever be something that would happen. And so it totally caught me off guard. And I've been giddy. I think they announced the news last week. I've been giddy since then. I can't stop thinking about this. That's how excited I am for it.
What about the other, isn't there a newer version of Star Trek?
There's a show called Star Trek Discovery, which is also on CBS All Access. So if you're interested in Star Trek, these two shows are only available on their app, CBS All Access. They're not showing it on network television. So you have to subscribe to the app to get the shows. So I haven't seen Discovery. I've heard both good things and bad things about it. Some people I know have said it's great, and some people have said it's really actually pretty terrible. So I don't really know what to think. Have you seen it, Lewis?
I haven't seen it. How come you didn't watch it?
Because it's behind a paywall on CBS All Access. And I'm like, I'm not paying you $6 a month to watch one single show.
Can't you pirate it?
Can I get in another way? I probably could, but I'm trying to be a good boy. And so I just kind of forgot about it. I was like, okay, I'm not gonna watch this show. And plus, you know, people were saying that it wasn't that great. I mean, some of the Star Trek fans that I know in my life said that it was decent but not great. So I just, you know, forgot all about it. But now that they're gonna have this one coming to CBS All Access, I think I'll probably have to subscribe and kind of catch up on both of them and watch both of them. Are you a Star Trek person, Lewis?
Oh yeah, I mean, I've always liked it. Although I did not watch. What was the other one? Not the one after the Next Generation. I never.
That was supposed to be one of the better ones.
Is that
it?
Star Trek Voyager or Deep Space Nine?
Yeah, I kind of dropped off on those.
Those are pretty good. Again, Next Generation is kind of as classic Star Wars or Star Trek as it gets for me. I mean, I like the original Star Trek movies, and then the Next Generation are probably like my favorite Star Trek stuff.
What about the original series?
I mean, it got canceled after 3 seasons, Lewis. I think that pretty much says it all.
Man, it was ahead of its time.
It was very far ahead of its time. You liked the original, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I was not watching it was first on the air, but yeah.
I will say, though, the original Star Trek movies are fantastic. Some of the best movies, some of my favorite movies of all time. Did you like the movies?
Yeah. Sure.
I mean, Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, where they save those whales.
Yeah, that's the best one. That's the funniest one, isn't it?
That was a great one. And that was directed by Leonard Nimoy, I think. That might have been one of his first directorial debuts. And I just love Leonard Nimoy. I mean, I thought he was incredible. He was a true Renaissance man. He was an artist. And he wasn't just an actor. And I saw him live one time at Phoenix Comic Con, and it was one of the most profound oratory experiences I've ever had in my entire life. Like, it actually changed me. I came out of it a changed person.
Wow.
I had goosebumps the entire time I was there. He went through the arc of his life and told all the stories from his youth, from his acting days before Star Trek. And then he talked about getting into Star Trek, how he helped develop some of the most iconic plot lines and characters on the show. And he illustrates all of this with this series of photographs. He was a photographer his whole life, with a series of photographs that you couldn't see anywhere else. And he was a good photographer. So he had these incredible images, one after another, after another, after another, of his life as he told the stories from his life. And I thought it was incredible. I mean, I never knew what a profoundly talented storyteller he was. I just thought he was an actor. But he was so much more than that. And ever since that one experience, it sent my love for Star Trek into overdrive.
Wow.
Into warp speed, if you will. So I really got even more into the Star Trek movies after that. And I just love the Star Trek universe. I love it. It's kind of a nerdy thing to like, isn't it? It's not cool. It's not like Star Wars. Everyone loves Star Wars, but only some people like Star Trek.
Yeah, I always figured that Star Wars is more realistic, just because Star Trek is always so sort of altruistic, and you know, the good guys always win, and everything's shiny and clean and neat, and everything works beautifully, and I don't know. But I
always thought, if you're talking about realism, the most realistic space movie has got to be Aliens, where they're just basically driving like a dump truck through space. everyone hates each other, you know, and they're all like swearing constantly and making fun of each other. I'm like, that's a true depiction of what space travel is really going to be like. Yeah,
that's what made it great, isn't it?
Right.
I can't believe that. So Star Trek never adopted that, you know, the grunge aesthetic.
Oh, no, it's impeccably clean.
It's pristine. Yeah. Nothing's ever, you know, battered or anything.
Breaks down.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like the Mr. Rogers of space travel, yeah.
Every now and then something has to be fixed by engineering, you know. They got an hour to do it, and they fix it in 59 minutes.
Scotty pulls it off every time.
Don't know how much more she can take.
Oh, I love it. Classic. You know, James Doohan, who played Scotty, he lived part of his life and died in Redmond, Washington, where I grew up.
Really? I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either until he was dead. I was like, oh, man. My brother told me he used to see him around sometimes. And I'm like, why didn't no one tell me this? Scotty lived in my city?
Well, he teleported everywhere, didn't he? So.
Yeah, so that's why you never saw him.
Didn't they shoot his ashes into space?
I hope so. Okay, let's go ahead and wrap it up. This is probably one of the longest shows we've ever done. Yeah, we're sitting at an hour and a half, I think, at this moment. Okay. Let's go. If we have anyone left, that is. Let's go ahead and wrap it up for these poor souls that have still stuck around. Okay, well, thank you everyone who stuck through till the end. I think that's going to be all the cult cast we have for you guys this week. Hey, if you want to come talk to us about any of the stories we mentioned on today's show, did you not like our opinions? Do you want to yell at us? Well, we're all on Twitter. Lewis is at Lewis Wallace. Kenny is at L. Kenny. I'm at Arifon. This has been the Hulkcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation. You're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Hulkcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. You know, I was going to try and do a Star Trek ending there. Couldn't think of a single one. Did I miss something, Lewis? Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I don't know. What would, you know... Can you make this the transporter sound?
What was that? I have no idea if that really is the real transporter sound or not.
It's like 95%, yeah. Yeah.
So it's, you know, I've got it on a boom stand. It's easier to get my face close to it and everything else.
Yeah, it sounds much, much louder.
All right, then.
I
can adjust the volume, too, on this one for a change.
You might want to take it down just maybe like 10%.
You sound like Alex Jones, Lewis.
That's why I'm doing it. We got to get us a new thing going here.
Rip his shirt off.
How's that there? Does that sound better?
Yeah, that's the key to doing an Alex Jones impression. Even if you don't really feel like you can do it, if you just rip your shirt clean off your torso, you will easily transform into the spirit of Alex Jones.